Welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and this podcast is your guide to start creating a lifestyle by design. From entrepreneurship, money and finance, taxes and residencies, and everything in between, this show highlights the nuances of a true global citizen lifestyle. Let's dive in. Alex, welcome to the Work, Wealth, and Travel Podcast. I'm so looking forward to diving in today into your story, your journey, your travel journey, both solo and with a family, and your entrepreneurial journey. But before diving in, please share a little bit about your background and how you got into this lifestyle and what your journey to get here has really looked like.
Absolutely. So first of all, I'm really excited to be here as well. I've listened to a bunch of your stuff and I love what you're doing, Nicole. This is awesome. This whole industry, this whole world, like people's eyes are kind of opening up right now, especially post-pandemic, and people realize that how important it is to be a global citizen. So yeah, for me personally, let's see, my background, I grew up in Texas, in Dallas. I spent 12 years in the Air Force. So I was an Air Force fighter pilot. I flew F-15Cs for a while. My last assignment was over in the UK. When I was in the UK, I met my wife and we were married last year and we have a baby now. But regarding traveling and entrepreneurship and all that, it really started back when I did a semester abroad at the academy. They sent me down to Mexico and it kind of opened my eyes to the idea that the United States wasn't the center of the planet. I remember sitting down with a group of other exchange students that were from Europe, and I was explaining to them how superior the American system of whatever, engineering or healthcare or something like that. And one of them turned around and just looked at me and laughed. And he's like, that is the most ignorant, closed-minded viewpoint I've ever heard in my life. And I was like, wait, what? I just thought this was how the rest of the world thought of the United States, you know? So that was the moment that really kind of opened my eyes that travel is so important and experiencing the rest of the planet is really the only way to be a well-rounded person. So that was the travel side of things. And then the entrepreneurship side of things started when I was in the military. I enjoyed my time in the military. I absolutely loved being a fighter pilot. It's the best job on the planet for sure. But you're definitely limited with the amount of money that you're going to be able to earn. It's a nice, good salary, but it's not a very, very high salary. So from the beginning, I started looking at ways to start making some money on the side. And I started off with real estate investing. There's some really good programs in the United States to be able to buy properties with almost 0% down. And actually 0% down. So my very first property that I bought was using a special VA loan, they're called. And I bought a 4-unit property with no money. So that started the kind of investment side of things. And then when I made the decision that I wasn't going to do a career in the military and wanted to get out, I had to start thinking of a way, well, how am I going to support myself if I'm not going to have a paycheck anymore? So I started doing research. And from the get-go, the two things that I knew my business had to be were completely location independent and semi to moderately passive, where it didn't involve me working on the business all day, every day for it to survive. And then it's just been kind of an organic journey from there. Kind of you take one step, one direction, and you start heading this way, and then life sends you a little bit back this way and corrects you this way, and you figure it out as you go along. So here we are today.
What a journey. I love that. Thank you for sharing. And I love how you went from very all-American to living such a global lifestyle. So I definitely, and I actually had investments as one of the questions that I wanted to ask you about. But mm-hmm. I think before diving into that aspect of things, I know that you have traveled quite extensively for many years and you started solo and then couple travel. And now you travel as a family with your young child. So to me, I love this trajectory and this journey. Can you share some of the core differences that you have found from solo travel to couple travel to the completely different world? And this is not even a world that I'm experienced in. So I'm very curious on this topic of traveling with a family and a very young child at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so absolutely. So our son is now 1 year old and we left to start traveling with him about, let's see, call it 4 months ago. So when he was 8 months old. So 100% traveling as a family and with a young child is a completely different game than traveling by yourself or even as a couple. So I'll start then with, I imagine a lot of your listeners out there have traveled, have done the backpacker scene, have been around. And so you know what that's like, where how you can just be completely free, do whatever you want, change trajectory whenever you want. And you don't mind taking the public transportation. If it's going to take 10 hours and you can save a dollar, who cares? You know, when you start traveling as a couple, which I think is becoming almost more standard now, I don't know if it's just because of our circumstances, but I meet more traveling couples than I do solo backpackers almost. Then it obviously it's just slightly more complex because you're working with two people deciding what they want to do and the comfort levels of two people. But that's, you know, that's a tiny little bit of change. When now you bring in a child to the mix, that's when it's a whole new world. So I'd say the biggest thing is planning, where previously you can just show up in a place with no thought, like, oh, I'm going to book and we're going to fly to Cebu in the Philippines and we'll just figure it out. Now you need to look in advance. You need to make sure you have accommodation. You need to have a comfortable way to get from wherever you're arriving to where you're staying. And at least some sort of situation where I'm going to be able to go shopping and get food and diapers and wipes and all that stuff. What I will say though, and I want people to come in with this mentality, is it is 100% possible. We do it every single day, and we've been doing it for, you know, 4 months straight. Basically, we like I said, we left in October and we've been nonstop since. If you come in with the mindset, and so many people have this, that, oh, once I have a kid, like, it's over. I have to go buy the house in the suburbs, the little white fence, and this nomadic lifestyle is done. If you come in with that mindset, then of course, like, that's what's going to happen. If you come in from the moment that we found out we were pregnant, we already went, great, how are we going to make this work? What are we going to do? What do we need to do to be able to continue this type of lifestyle? And then the only other thing I'll add is that it did really help that we'd been traveling for over 3 years when we started doing this. Because if I would say, if you right now, if you're listening to this podcast and you already have a family and you've never done this before, you can do it, but it's going to be challenging. It's going to take a lot of preparation and it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. If you've been traveling already, you understand you are a nomad. You've been around the planet. You know what it's like to change location and figure out a whole system in a new location.
I like that you mentioned that, because one of my pet peeves, which I don't share too often, is when somebody who is not living this lifestyle will say to me or say to my partner and I, like, oh, it's so great you're doing this while you can. And of course, that is meant in a plethora of different ways. You know, it can be health-wise. There can be so many different ways that they mean that. But the way that I usually take that is, before you settle down and you have a family and you have the picket fence, and it really shakes me, and I try to work on it, but it still really bothers me that a lot of people who are in this lifestyle, but definitely who are not in this lifestyle, don't seem to understand that it's something that's possible to travel full time and live a nomadic lifestyle and make money online full time with a child. Are there any key differences that really shook you when you first had a child that you did not expect, that you were not prepared for? Or was it, for the most part, of course, not completely, but smooth sailing, what you expected? You knew it would be more work and it was more work.
Yeah. Great question. And I will say right now, 100%, it has not been smooth sailing. It is challenging every single day. And the one big thing that definitely caught me off guard, like in my previous career, like when I was a fighter pilot, you learn systems, you learn how to do things, and then you become really, really good at them. You become an absolute expert and better than everyone else at doing things in a particular way. When it comes down to a kid, and if there's any other parents listening to this podcast, I'm sure they're nodding their heads going, yep. The thing with the kid is they change all the time. Every single day, it's a different beast. You know, we had a system when we first left, and he wasn't crawling yet. So it was great. We would just strap them onto our chest and we'd head out to go see the ruins or go to the waterfalls or do whatever. And it was no problem. He was just kind of a lump. You just kept him in the shade. He'd fall asleep every now and again. And it was great. It didn't slow things down at all. Then all of a sudden he starts crawling. And now that he's crawling, he wants to move his body all the time. And when you're in some kind of austere locations, you don't just want to put him down on the jungle floor or the dirty side of the road, wherever you are. So then you have to keep him up on you. And then he wants to move. And then he gets frustrated when he can't move. And then now he's walking. And now that he's walking, he really wants to go. So if he's not on the ground moving constantly, then he's going to be frustrated. So just for example, we actually, my wife and I were talking about this last night. We think we're going to pivot. We've been very nomadic since October, and we've kind of just made the decision that we think the best thing for our family is to slow things down and pick a place for probably about the next 3 months, settle into a normal routine for about 3 months, and then move again. And we want to test out that time frame to see how we like it. Generally speaking, we found that if we stay in a place for about 3 months, that's kind of our max limit before the two of us look at each other and go, ooh, like Mexico City sounds really nice right now, you know, if we've been somewhere else or whatever. So yeah, I would just say flexibility in every single day, waking up and it's new.
Alex, I'm writing down so many questions as you're speaking. I have so many questions about this lifestyle, but I have to say, like, I don't know how you're staying less than 3 months with a child. My partner and I, we started traveling, and every month-ish to begin with, we would be somewhere new, and we always get the same itch, it sounds like, that you get. It's like, okay, where is next? You know, there's so many places in the world to see, but I think now, and we don't even have a kid, now we're going to be slowing down to 2, 3, maybe even 4 months. It's nice because you can relax and have a gym membership. So I don't know how you're going faster than that with a child. I'm curious, what does your average day look like? Of course, you have to work. You make money. Does your wife make money? Of course, you have a business, which we'll dive into after this, kind of the entrepreneurial side of things that is somewhat passive. But what does a typical day with a child while working, while traveling and exploring as well, what does that look like?
Yeah. So that's another total difference between just solo travel or traveling as a couple as well. Previously, we would wake up in the morning and kind of go, ah, what are we going to do today? Which adventure do we want to go on? Or maybe the night before we talk about it and say, all right, we're going to get up and go to these ruins or this waterfall or this lake or whatever. Now, what we really need to do is at the beginning of each week, you sit down and you plan out the whole week in front of you. And we're juggling, I'd say, so three different things right now. We're juggling the travel aspect. We're in cool places like, I'm here on Lombok right now, the island next to Bali, hanging out. And there's lots of really cool stuff to do here. So the travel aspect, to go see and sightsee and experience the, you know, the local delights, like the whole reason that we are in this new location. So that's one thing. Two, we have business stuff we need to work on. Both my wife and I earn money online, so we need to be focusing on that. And then three, the baby and our family time as a unit. You know, so what we've found, and we're still getting the hang of this, but we need to sit down every single week and kind of plan it out and say, okay, on this day is going to be a family relax travel day. We're going to rent a car. We're going to go drive around the island and hang out. The next day needs to be a work day. And either I get the work day or my wife gets the work day, because one of us then has to take care of the baby. And that changes, and that's slightly different depending where we are. When we were on Bali, we had kind of a daycare situation. We could drop him to. We still had to go there with him because he's still quite young. But that kind of helped things a bit. But just right now, assume that you have no daycare situation, no family support, anything like that, because you're traveling. You have to have one person with the baby the whole day and then one person working. So we alternate. So it'll be my day or her day. It'll be with the baby the whole day. And the other person gets to work the whole day. And then the next day we swap. So what I've been doing is on my work days that I have, I'll go surfing in the morning or in the evening because I'm really into that. And then as soon as I'm done with that, I'll come back, I'll take a shower, I'll grab the laptop, and I'll sit down in a coffee shop and I'll work the rest of the day. So yeah, planning things out. It's the only way to do it. to actually get things done and keep your sanity.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's very different than a single or couple nomad life. But I like that you, and I guess it would look different for every couple, and I'm sure you've had conversations with other couples as well, but I like that you really have a set schedule and a plan around that. When you first mentioned a work day, I was like, oh gosh, I don't think I could work for an entire day. It would be like morning and then switch off in the afternoon. But it's nice that you also consider that your free time as well, to do a hobby and activity that you enjoy.
Right. Right. That's when my wife goes to the gym, it goes to yoga, and I'll surf and hang out, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm sure you would just go crazy. Okay. So quick question. Could you see this lifestyle with having more children? Not that that may be something that you want in the future, but if you want a family of two or three kids, or anybody listening wants that but still wants to live nomadically, is that something that you foresee could be possible? Would you need help? Would you need to stay longer in countries to hire help or be close to a daycare? Do you think that's something that could potentially be feasible for most people?
Absolutely. 100%. We definitely want more kids. I'm over here. I want like a basketball team. You know, I want a bunch of kiddos. I'm talking my wife into it, but we might end up with, you know, maybe three, something like that. There are other something we realized when we got into this is we're like, oh my gosh, we're heading into new territory where no one's ever done this before. If you get on Instagram, if you get online, you start Googling around, there's lots of nomadic families out there. Lots of people are doing this. Nothing about this is new. It's just figuring out a situation that works for you and your family in particular and your circumstances. The way I see it with us is as your family grows, especially when you have a young baby age kids, that's when you definitely need to be going much slower, much more relaxed, much more planned out. And additionally, perhaps either hiring full-time help. We've talked about or considered the idea of like a travel au pair that would kind of come with us. And, you know, when we're staying and we rent the apartment or whatever, and the au pair stays in the hostel, the fun young person hostel nearby, so she can go out to the parties and hang out or whatever. And then when we want a date night, she has to come over and, you know, watch the baby or watch the kiddos or anything like that.
Are you interested in becoming a global citizen and living a lifestyle by design in a country that aligns with you? If this is a lifestyle that you're seeking to create, we can help. Whether it be multiple residencies, citizenships, bank accounts, trusts, or company formations, we operate in 30 plus of the most tax-friendly jurisdictions around the globe to get you structured properly. Head to the link in the show notes to learn more and to get your global citizen journey underway today.
But so that, and then just when you stay somewhere longer, then you can actually set up a system of a daycare or a nanny or something like that. So absolutely. We foresee having more kids. We want to maintain this lifestyle, and we see other people doing this all the time now.
So, yeah, totally doable. I love that. Totally doable. I totally agree. And I do see a lot of families as well who they have a travel nanny, or what I've seen is a lot of them will bring one of their moms, their parents in, and then they get to travel with them, which is great. And they already love the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another great idea. So, I'll pitch it to my wife later.
Yeah, maybe you'll get her on board for some more kids with easy help. So my last question pertaining to this topic is the future for your child. What does that look like when he and potential other children in the future will get to preschool age, school age? Is that something you've thought about at this point? And what could that potentially look like? What are some options out there available?
Yeah. So this is probably the number one question that we get from people traveling with a family and saying, oh, we have kids, but we want to maintain a nomadic lifestyle, is what are you going to do when they need to go to school? And that's the one where, you know, everybody, when they say that, they kind of sit back and go, ah, yeah, we got you there. Like, that's when you're going to have to stop traveling. And we weren't really sure for a long time, and we're still a ways out. We still have a few more years till we really need to think about and commit to what that situation is going to look like. What I would tell any of your listeners to do is look up the concept, or look up this concept called world schooling. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I imagine you have, but if you haven't, check it out. World schooling. There's Facebook groups for days. There's books written about it. There's all sorts of stuff. And it's, once again, you think you're the first person doing this. You're not. People have been doing this for years and years and years. And it's just getting more and more popular. So we don't know what our particular situation is going to look like. We've already come across numerous different programs that we can see being a good fit. One that I'll talk about, we haven't actually used them yet, but we came across them while we were in Bali, is this school program called Boundless Life. And I'm going to use them as an example because I'm sure there's other ones out there that exist. But this program has 4 different campuses at the moment. They have one on Bali. They have one in Greece, on Syros, one of the islands. They have one in Portugal. And they have one in Tuscany. And they have a year-round school year. Like you can enroll your student for these 3-month chunks out of the year. And it's a universal curriculum. So for example, let's say you say, okay, I'm going to sign up to do 3 months on Bali with our kids there. And your kids are in first grade or second grade or whatever. They do 3 months and then you go, let's go to Greece. You then take them to Greece. You enroll them in the next 3-month section over in Greece and they're on the same curriculum. So it's like they just left class one day and they start class the next day and they're on the same program. So they're getting a total complete education. I think they swap little things around for the local area. Like when you're in Greece, you get to learn some Greek. You learn about the history of Greece. And each different location, they do that. And this program is opening new campuses already. They said this year they're opening one in Montenegro. They're opening another one in Spain. So, I mean, this is just the beginning. If right now in 2024, there's already options to do this, in the next 5 years, it's going to be so exciting. It's going to be easier and easier and easier because more and more, there's the demand. There's more and more demand for this every single day. All the digital nomads that are out there right now, like not all of them, but a lot of them end up getting married and a lot of them end up having kids. And most of them don't want to sit down and settle down, as people call it. So yeah, do your research. We're a few years out, but we've got a lot of ideas.
Yeah, I love that. And I know along with world schooling there, I'm not so familiar, but I know that there is unschooling as well. I actually had, if you search on the podcast in the archives, probably about 80 episodes ago, I did have a world schooling expert on the show and she was a TEDx speaker. And it was so interesting and fascinating speaking with her. And it was funny because I'm sure you've experienced this looking into the curriculum of world schooling as well. She was explaining it and explaining that she takes, they were teenagers, a lot of them, on these amazing experiences. And they're in Panama seeing the locks in the canal and how the locks work. And they're in Peru learning about the ancient civilization and aliens and the pyramids. And I was just like, I need to do world schooling. Like, sign me up. This sounds so cool. Like, it's just so much more fascinating. And it's the engagement that you get from it when you're actually physically there, instead of, I just remember myself sitting in elementary and high school reading about the war, or specifically the shooting of Franz Ferdinand in a textbook. And I did not care. But a few years ago when we were in Bosnia and we were actually on the corner where he was shot, and you can see the car that he was driving in, it was a completely different experience.
Yeah. When you compare that to the type of schooling we had growing up, traditional schooling, it's, I can't imagine why someone would rather put their kid into a traditional school in a suburb somewhere sitting behind a desk compared to that.
I totally agree. And my partner and I, kids are, you know, a maybe, but we always still talk about the fact that the education system, I know it's changed since I was in the education system in Canada and America, but they're still not really teaching what I would want for my child to know. They're not teaching entrepreneurial skills and problem solving and risk taking. They're not teaching about how to pay your taxes and what does that look like, and why do you even need to, I guess if you're in that system, it's a little bit different. But for me, it's like, why do I need to stay in this system? Why do I need to pay taxes to this system? They're not teaching you about all of these intricacies about how life actually works. They're really just building an employee.
Yep. Exactly right.
So I love that you are thinking differently and thinking outside of the box and finding alternatives. So, Okay, to wrap up the child and travel aspect of things before we go into entrepreneurship, is there anything else that you want to touch on? I mean, I'm sure there's so much that goes into your daily life and traveling with a child that's important to touch on in this aspect that we have not yet.
The only thing that we've already covered, and I just want to hammer home, and I say this to people every single time they ask me about it, once again, is you can do it. I promise you, you can do it. Just make it happen. Figure it out. You've got it. Just take the leap. Get yourself set up. We went back to London. My wife is from London, to have our baby there. We got things in order. We figured out you feed the baby a few times a day. It sleeps a few times a day. You clean its, you know, the diaper a few times a day. And then it generally, like, things go well, you know? So you figure that out. And then after that, take the leap, go for it. That's all.
It's funny because I imagine that you're making it sound like traveling with a toddler is more difficult than a baby. But I think in my mind, I think of a crying baby and it's flailing all over the place. But you're saying the opposite.
I actually am saying the opposite. And definitely, we were just talking about it yesterday. I would say you should start traveling when you have a 3-month-old, because they're still just a lump. They're just there on your chest. They're happy to hang out. They like to sleep. Now our little guy has a will of his own. He's walking around. He wants things. And when he doesn't get his way, he freaks out. And it's just going to get worse, from my understanding, from speaking with my other friends. So get out there and do it.
Interesting.
Go.
Very interesting perspective. Not at all what I would have guessed. Okay, so let's chat about the entrepreneurial side of things. So if you don't mind, share a little bit about what your entrepreneurial and business journey has looked like and where it is at now so that you can sustain this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when I was about midway through my Air Force career, I really started thinking about this, how to do this, how to be an entrepreneur, how to maintain a nomadic lifestyle, how to build a sustainable lifestyle that will be fulfilling. And the way I think about it is there's kind of three pillars to a good life. Okay. There's health, there's wealth, and there's relationships. And those are the three things that I want to work on in my life. Health is kind of an obvious one. You need to be healthy. You need to be fit. You need to take care of your body, because if you don't have your health, it's hard to do anything else. It's hard to enjoy anything else. It's hard to be a good partner. It's hard to be a good father or mother or anything like that. Wealth. When I say wealth, I don't just mean wealth in terms of money. I look at wealth as kind of related to freedom. And freedom comes in two ways. And you have a wealth or freedom of time, and then you have wealth in regards to money, which gives you the freedom to do the things that you want. And you meet lots of people out there that have tons of money and no time. And all they do, I have a few very, very successful friends that work 12-hour days. They have families. They almost never see them. And they've got lots of money, but they've got no time. And then on the other hand, you meet lots of people, especially while you're out traveling and kind of in the backpacker scene. You see people that have all the time in the world, but they have no money at all to do anything. So they've got the time, but they're really kind of trapped in regards to what they can do. And then the last pillar is your relationships. And when I say relationships, what I mean is your relationship with yourself. You need to be happy with who you are as a person, your relationship with your family, with your friends, with God, if you're into that. Like, it's just life as a human isn't this solo thing. It's about connections. It's about your ability to interact with other people. It's how you grow. So to tie that all back in, health, wealth, and relationships. When I was thinking about this, I wanted to set up businesses that allowed me to maintain all of that. So I briefly said earlier, but location independence was absolutely paramount. And then also businesses that you can scale and kind of automate without having to be too involved were the most important things, because that would allow me to have the time to take care of my body, the time to spend with my family and with my friends and personal time as well. And then also the wealth to have the freedom to do whatever I want, travel, hang out, work when I want, and all that. To get specific, for me personally, just my journey, it all started out with real estate. Like I said, in the US military, you can get a loan to buy a property with 0% down. And most military people don't even know this exists. And the ones that do know it exists go and buy a house for themselves and they move their family into the house. Very few military people know you can use this loan to buy up to a 4-unit property. You still have to move into one of the units, but then you can rent out the other 3. So my very first purchase, I bought with 0 money down. I actually had to boot one of the tenants that was living there already. And I already had a property with 3 tenants in it. So I was cash flow positive on day one, significantly cash flow positive after spending no money. I then sat on this property for 1 year and then I did it again. And there's limits on this loan, how many times you can use it. So I did it another time on one more property. Then I took all the money that I'd saved from those 2 properties. And then I bought a 3rd property, a 6-unit property this time. So now you've got a little mailbox money in the background. And I had a reasonably well-paid job. So I was saving up money in the background. And then when I decided to actually make the jump and get out of the military, that's when I started looking at, okay, what's some kind of high cash flow businesses that I can develop here? Because real estate, as they say, is like a great way to get rich slowly. You know, you're gonna be very wealthy over time if you invest correctly, but it's not gonna be an overnight success, as it were. So I kind of stumbled across e-commerce. I don't remember if I was scrolling on Instagram or what, but I came across one of these e-commerce gurus out there, and I was like, all right, fine, I'll take his course or whatever. So I was in London at the time and signed up and went and took this course for an afternoon, and it was a total, you know, take the course for free and then you sign up for this thing and spend 3 easy payments of $7.99, and I'll show you how to do everything. And I went for it. I took the course. I learned everything. And from there, it just kind of took off. And it took 3 years of hard work, just me on the company, to get it to grow. And then it was finally this past year in 2023 that I made the best decision of my life. And I'm sure you've heard about this, you read about this, but most people don't do it, is to get out of the way. I started hiring people. And the best thing you can do in the world is hire someone who's smarter than you are. Because I promise you, there's somebody out there that's a lot smarter than you and that's better than you at whatever you're trying to do. So go find that person, hire them, and your business is just going to start to skyrocket. So that's what happened to us in 2023. And things are going really well at this point now.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for you.
A lot of stuff for you.
No, that's great. That's great. I'm so happy that what an amazing journey. So e-commerce, not an easy business to break into, but also to scale. So Can you share some of the challenges that you had along the way? It sounds like it was somewhat a steady curve upward for you. Of course, 3 years later, you're successful, which 3 years, I think, sounds like a long time to a lot of people, but in entrepreneurial space, it's really not. And I think, especially in e-commerce, it is a very quick amount of time. But what were some of the challenges that you had along the way? And was there ever a point where you thought, this is not for me, this is not going to work out, I need to go a different direction?
Yeah, all the time. Challenges still, I mean, every single day, even now. You know, I'm lucky enough that I have this team in place where most of the issues they handle every now and again, still I have to deal with stuff. But if you want to get particular about e-commerce, so most of the stuff we're doing is on Amazon. We've also expanded to Walmart and Mercado Libre, and we're looking now over in Asia with Lazada and Shopee and some other stuff. But if you just want to talk about Amazon, just the competition is ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. And it's not just normal business competition. You have a lot of sellers from some other countries that don't mind using what people will call black hat tactics to mess with your products. So for example, like when you launch a product, you do all the research in the world. You look at the keywords, you look at what's trending right now, you contact suppliers over in China or wherever on Alibaba. You buy your first product, 500 units or whatever. You start selling them. Things are going well. You're getting a few good reviews. And then all of a sudden, you get a 1-star review. And the 1-star review is kind of in broken English, and it has nothing to do with your product. Nothing at all. And you go, interesting. So probably it is a competitor out there that's wanting to shut you down. So you kind of have to reach, you have to break through this point where you have so much momentum that then you can kind of fight off the competitors that are messing with you. So I'd say that's one of the biggest challenges is just the competition. And then also, if you're going to do an inventory-based model, it's cash intensive. So if you're like everybody preaches drop shipping is the way to do things, and you can make a lot of money with drop shipping. Because if your listeners don't know that the difference is drop shipping is when you don't actually own the product itself. A customer buys the product from you, you turn around to the supplier and you purchase the product from the supplier and have them ship it direct to the customer. So it's not really much cash out on your own. If you're going to have an inventory-based model, you have to go and spend the money upfront to go buy X amount of units or whatever. And that's your capital that then has to sit and wait, and it takes months. And then you start selling more, and then you need to buy more. And as long as your business is growing, you have no money. So that's the thing. For the first 3 years, I almost made no money because every single dollar that I made had to go right back into the business to buy more inventory. So it's another thing. You're like, you're building this machine that as soon as you want it to stop growing, you can start pulling money out. But as long as you keep dumping money into it, that's where it's going to keep growing. So it's at this point where, when do I start taking money out?
It's like a catch 22 kind of. It's funny that you mentioned that about the reviews. And I know in e-commerce, especially on Amazon, there's so many ways that competitors will try to bring you down. So I lived in China for almost 4 years, and you know, there was groups on WeChat. And I was actually just talking, it's front of mind because I was just mentioning it for some reason. I don't know why. It's my partner yesterday, but there would be groups and it would be Canadians, Americans, New Zealand, and Australians. You probably know where this is going. And they would want native English speakers, and they would, we're in China already. So it's really, it costs almost nothing for them to send us a bunch of product. They would pay you a little bit of money and you get whatever the product is for free. And they're like, I want a 30-second review and it has to be great. And then you make it and you just send it off to them. And you're like, I don't know where this is going or what they're doing with it, but it took 30 seconds of my time. So I'm happy.
Yeah, do it. Go for it. Absolutely.
But yeah, you know, it's like, I don't know, maybe they were sending those to Amazon. I don't know. And I know now it's different because that was a few years ago. Now there's the verified purchaser as well. So there's some ways I think that they've gotten around that, which is good on Amazon. But e-commerce is tough. It is tricky, whether it's dropshipping or Amazon. So I think, you know, is there anything else surrounding the entrepreneurial journey that you would like to touch on?
Yeah. So on kind of a more grand scale, I know, I assume a lot of your listeners are listening to this and figuring out, thinking about, okay, how can I, if I don't already have a business, how can I start making money online or location independent? And there's really two types of people that I see in this space after having traveled so long and meeting so many different digital nomads. You have remote workers and you have entrepreneurs. And the remote workers have a job somewhere back home or in whatever country. And they usually have, generally have a, you know, moderately good salary. They're doing quite well for themselves. And that's kind of the easy path. You just figure out, cool, it's the same thing as sitting at home and having a job. It's just now I'm going to sit in the cool little town in Costa Rica while I have the job. And that's awesome. And I respect that so much more than just sitting at home in that same lifestyle. The other people are the entrepreneurs. And if you're going to be an entrepreneur, it's going to be work and it's going to be hard. And the first thing you do probably isn't going to work. The main thing about it is just don't give up. Keep going. Keep pushing. You know, you have to fail 100 times before one thing works. And all you need is for one thing to work. So what I found as well is most entrepreneurs don't even just focus on and have one business. So like, for example, myself right now, like this e-commerce stuff is starting to go so well and about to kind of reach a velocity where I'm not going to be that involved at all. And it's going to be able to maintain a lifestyle that my family and I want, where I'm ready for the next thing. So I've spent the last week, couple weeks now, sitting thinking like, okay, what's the next thing? How do I find the next thing that's going to take our family to a whole other level and work with the new circumstances that we have? So yeah, just to summarize that, I mean, if you want to be an entrepreneur, do it. Go for it. It's hard, but it's the best thing in the world and it's awesome. And you can make it work if you really try. Work smart and hard. How about that?
If you're starting a business or you're looking to start a business, do you believe that it needs to be something that you are passionate in, or it needs to be something that you know that there is money and maybe there isn't so much passion there, or a mix of both?
Yeah. So I think it depends on who you are as a person. So it depends. Because for me, e-commerce, I don't really have any passion about. It doesn't get me excited when I wake up in the morning. And there's been lots of times that I haven't wanted to keep going with this business because of that.
But that's hard to sustain for 3 years.
Yeah. Where for me, it kind of just kept dragging me back into it is every time I became disillusioned, I had another success where I started making some more money and it kind of pulled me back in. So everyone out there will say, no, follow your passions. Like this might be an unpopular opinion I'm about to give you, but lots of people out here say, follow your passions. I say that's kind of nonsense. Everybody has a passion. Lots of people have passions for all sorts of stuff. All sorts of stuff that's not going to make you any money. I would argue one should buckle down, work their butt off for a year, 2 years, 3 years on whatever, even if it's something that you're not passionate about, but do it in the right way where you know you're going to be able to exit out of it or hand it off or sell it to then go pursue your passions. Because if you start with just, I'm just going to chase my passion. One, it might not make you any money. And two, when you're just starting out and you're stressed and you don't have a lot of money, that passion can turn into work really quick. So what I've done, and then what I would recommend to people, it's just, well, I don't know, it's my path, but figure out a system that's going to make you enough money. And from the beginning, design it where you know once I have it at a certain point, I can walk away from it and then use that money to then go follow your passions, your passion projects, your stuff that you're really excited about. And that's
what. So on the topic of e-commerce, I want to ask you as one last question. If somebody is listening who is interested in getting started in e-commerce, what would you recommend are the best first steps to take to get into the industry?
Yep. Yeah. I've got an easy answer for you that I tell people all the time. People ask me this question a couple times a week, and go sign up for a course. The one I'd recommend, you guys need to go check out helium10.com. Go to helium10.com, sign up for the most basic membership. They're one of these companies that it's a software that allows you to analyze Amazon, but they have this absolutely incredible course you can take. And their membership is like $100 a month, 100 US a month. So you can spend 100 US a month. You can cancel whenever you want. And the course takes a month or 2 months or something like that. And I promise you, if you do that, you will be an absolute expert on e-commerce and how to sell on Amazon, an absolute expert. What I've found is most people I tell to do this, they sign up for this course and about 2 weeks into it, they stop and they realize it's not for them. But I'll tell you, it's better to spend that $100 to figure out if it's for you or not versus going out and spending $10,000 buying products that you're then going to sell and then realizing it's not for you. So get your education first before. And there's a bunch of them out there. Helium 10, Jungle Scout. There's all sorts of courses online. So Google them and take a course first.
Yeah, I like that recommendation of just spend a bit of money and see if it's something that you're actually passionate about and that you actually enjoy and that you actually can see yourself sustainably doing in the future.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Alex. Where can people find you online?
Yeah. Thanks. Check us out. We're at thenomad-life.com. So thenomad-life.com. We've got all our stuff up on there. We've got a travel blog. We've got links to all of our little businesses. We've got a bunch of investment opportunities coming up, all sorts of stuff. So go on there, check us out. There's a link to our Instagram as well. Shoot us a message. We'll always respond to stuff. We're happy to help and love talking about anything related to travel, entrepreneurship, global citizenship, family life, just anything. So
I love that. I have to ask you, what are the investment opportunities that are coming up? Is that something that you can speak about?
Yeah. I mean, so this is still, you and I talked about this a little bit before, this is still initial phase right here, but to let you in on our kind of secret, we were just talking about it last night and we're pretty sure that we're going to head to Dubai after this. So we want to get set up in Dubai for about 3 months. And our next venture is going to be a rent to rent business where through connections, we're going to secure kind of exclusive rights to lease whole buildings. And then we're going to rent them out on kind of vacation rental sites. So Airbnb, Booking, and our own proprietary stuff as well. So it's a system where you can take money to then set up these apartments and then the cash flow is just overnight significant. So that's, I don't have any more info for you or too much stuff right now, but in the next month, there's going to be some pretty exciting stuff happening for us.
Cool. I love that. That's so exciting. And I love you thinking outside of the box as an entrepreneur as well, and not just staying in your lane of e-commerce, but knowing that there's so much more out there for you because you are a global citizen and the world is at your fingertips. So thank you for being here, Alex. Thank you for sharing so much about not only your lifestyle, but your business here today.
You've just listened to the Work, Wealth, and Travel podcast. If anything from this episode resonated with you, I would appreciate if you share this podcast on your socials. And of course, be sure to tag me. And don't forget to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for joining me on this global citizen journey, and I'll see you in the next episode.